Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Missing Pages of History. Today we will discuss the issues of boycotting and mass incarceration. What is the solution to prison reform? And why are the prisons full of people who are the color of black, brown, red, and yellow? If you have any questions or comments for this program today, you'll be given the opportunity to call in later on by dialing 818-337-0016, or you can go to our chat line, Missing Pages of History Blog Talk. Now we get started with this program. Before we get started with the program and addressing the major issues for today, we would like to introduce our contributor and analyst, Emmanuel, out of North Carolina. We'd like to welcome him to Missing Pages of History. And as always, we will ask him to get the people to think a little bit by sharing some news dealing with our special segment dated Many Black Facts. So, Emmanuel, welcome. Can you get our people stimulated thinking by introducing them to some Many Black Facts, Emmanuel?
Welcome. The Many Black Fact is that it's amazing what is going on in our country, in the prison system, in the incarceration system, I call it. Just to give you a little black fact, that the Justice Department of the DOJ reported there's 2.2 million people in our nation's jails and prisons. Another 4.5 million people are on probation or parole in the United States, totaling 6.8 million people, one in every 35 adults. We are far and away the world leader in putting our own people in jail. Most of the people inside are poor and black. It's just amazing that it is a fact of life that incarceration is one of our largest sources of revenue for corporations. But just to show you what's going on in our prison system, the DOJ, this report came from them. Again, that 2.2 million people in our nation's jails and prisons, and another 4.5 million people are on probation or parole in the United States, totaling 6.8 million people. It's just crazy numbers, and we have to do something about it.
Okay. Emmanuel, in terms of some of the issues that we're going to address today, the first one we're going to address is the issue of what is the relationship between, or what role can boycotting play in addressing this problem of mass incarceration with the communities of the black, the brown, the red, and the yellow?
Well, let's look at the state that we're in, the state of mass incarceration. It's amazing that numbers I just gave you. And what would be some of the solutions? Well, one is to boycott, divest, and sanction corporations that feed on our prisons. Since property is the only language that corporations know and how to speak, we have to speak them in the language they understand. They don't understand anything else. Well, what are some of the things we can do to shut down the system to a certain degree? They have unchecked political and economic power, first of all. They have no intentions of diminishing profits. That means they're going to lock up more people. Well, money has replaced the vote. We can see that now. Money has replaced the vote. The corporations and the lobbyists, they select, they legislate, and they also make the laws. They're going to make sure that unemployment and underemployment, they're going to make sure it's chronic. Those people they're going to lock up. You have no job. What you going to do? Inadequate transportation. What you going to do? Most of our communities are very marginal. It has African Americans in it, and also brown people or Hispanic people. And where the courts, they are a subsidiary of a corporate state. So this is what you got. I was reading not so long ago, if they don't, on these private prisons, if they don't lock up so many people having no cell, the state has to pay them for an empty cell. That's just amazing to me. Well, when you said boycott, what you going to boycott? Well, how about work stoppage inside the prisons? Well, what about families of prisoners refuse to pay into their accounts of phone companies and the commissioner companies like McDonald's, Wendy's? I'll tell you about it in a minute. So when you look at that, mass incarceration is the most important civil rights issue of our day at this moment. It creates jobs. Well, for who? Prison labor need to be boycotted. We need to boycott the vending machines in the prisons. This is part of the system we have to dismantle, and this is how to dismantle that system. There are some things we definitely got to do. We got to target the food and merchandise vendors. How about the construction companies? The laundry services? How about the uniform companies? Prison equipment vendors? The cafeteria services? Manufacturers of pepper spray? Body armor? Instruments used for physical control of prisoners? How about a host of contractors that profit from mass incarceration? But who we need to go move this movement with us? Well, we need the churches and the universities to divest from their corporations that use prison labor. So all I'm saying is that it is time for communities of faith to stand with poor people, mostly of color, who are unfairly exploited and abuse. These are things we got to do. Now, let me give you an example of what we have to exploit. A prisoner in New Jersey makes an average of $1.20 for 8 hours work. I'm going to repeat that. A prisoner in the New Jersey prison system makes an average of $1.20 and for 8 hours of work, or about $28 a month. Some of them earn only 17 cents an hour. The fees for commissary to phone calls have increased more than 100%. Well, let's talk about the private prisons. There's about 40 states now that has private prisons, export to labor. They're talking about cheap labor. And you can't organize in the prison system. Well, who are some of the corporations that we need to boycott? Well, I'm going to give you a few of them that support the system, which is a $90 billion industry for corporations. Abbott Laboratories, AT&T, AutoZone, Bank of America, Bayer, Berkshire Hathaway, Cargill, Caterpillar, Chevron, the Chrysler Group, Costco Wholesale, John Deere, Eddie Beyer, Eli Lilly, ExxonMobil, Fruit of the Loom, Geico, GlaxoSmithKline, Glasgow Welcome, Huffman LaRoche, International Paper, Jan Sport, Johnson & Johnson, Kmart, the Coke Industries, Mary Kay, McDonald's, Merck, Microsoft, Motorola, Nintendo, Pfizer, Procter & Gamble, Quaker Oats, Sara Lee, Sears, Shell, Sprint, Starbucks, State Farm Insurance, United Airlines, UPS, Verizon, Victoria's Secret, Walmart, Wendy's, just to give you a few. This is a $90 billion business. $90 billion. Prisons are very highly profitable business. And profit is the only language that the involved corporations speak. The ones I name you, they don't know anything but profit. Don't know anything else. The language that they own is profit. Well, well, well. What are we going to do about this? It's just amazing for the people that are involved in the prison system. They make sure you can't bring any food in there, nothing to upset the money that they're making. Let's take another example. Telephone rates in New Jersey are some of the highest in the country. Global Tel Link, that's the number one, charges prisoners and their families $4.95 for a 15-minute phone call, which is about 2.5 times the national average for local inmate calling services. It's just amazing, this exorbitant rate. The phone industry makes $1.2 billion a year just inside the prisons. It's just amazing what they make, $1.2 billion a year. And who is involved in that? The prison generation that they pay the prisons where they're in $50 million a year in revenue. Well, they get extra money on top of that. The company charges families that put money into the prison account additional service fees as much as 45%. That's additional. Well, that's the money, of course, they pay the prisons, that particular prison, whichever the cities they're in or state they're in. So who controls the commissions, the commissaries? Well, there are over 800 public and private prisons, which charges prisons double amount what they charge outside the walls of the prison. So just for saying, in McDonald's, you pay a dollar menu. There's no dollar menu in the prison. No such animal. Just to show you what's going on inside the prison system. They're locked in cages. That's what they're locked. They use prison labor and corporations trying to gouge the prisoners and their families. But the whole thing is, again, what must we do? You find yourself sometimes like a fork in the road. Yes, some people need to be locked up, crimes they do and this type of thing. But exploiting for labor is another thing. The bottom line is what they're trying to do. I'm going to tell you the bottom line, the corporate state, what they're trying to do. What they're trying to do in the prison system, over a million and some odd people work in the prison system. They work in jobs and getting paid 17 cents an hour. The corporate, what they seek to reduce is all workers at home and abroad and use prison labor as that. They're trying to bring things back from China, back from India, because it's 17 cents an hour. Wow. And on top of that, they can't organize unions. They can't do the resistance is almost virtually impossible not to work. Benefits, let's talk about pensions, overtime, all that's gone. That's abolished. Vacation, sick leave, all that's gone. So once they get it back here, and that's what they're after, nobody can be able to challenge, you might say, unsafe and physical difficulty working conditions. Wages be totally suppressed. You tell them minimum wage now being $7.25. That's trying to fight it out. Why you think they fight so hard not to raise it? Because they got this with the working parts to it. Let's don't be stupid. Why are they doing this? Because this is the result of what they're doing. Scott Walker erased the unions in Wisconsin. Erased them all over. Because you can't organize in prison. You're going to keep the workers in poverty. So once they get let out, they got this record. They can't get a job. They're coming right back. 85% going to return. So you got a revolving door. The prisoners to corporate is the ideal worker. We cannot ignore the plight of what they're doing. I'm exploiting what's going to happen and what's happening already. Over 1.5 million workers right now in labor right now. So it's going to be replicated outside the prison walls. Once they do it in there, you think they're going to bring it out here? That's why minimum wage has been raised in, 20-some-odd years? Because they need more prisons to fill those cells. That's what they need. Now, what else are they doing inside the prison system? Something we're going to do out here. All of a sudden, your basic items like shoes, they have to buy the shoes now. They pay $45 a pair for their shoes. Well, that's twice the average of the monthly wage inside the prison system. If you need a blanket, well, you got to buy it. If you get cold at night, you got to buy the blanket. But here's something amazing to me. Packages from home once committed, they have been banned in all 40 states that the corporate, that the prisons are in, that they're owned by private. Can't bring it no more. They don't care about any of these things. Some systems out there in the system has begun to charge prisoners rent. I'm going to repeat that. Some states have begun to charge prisoners rent. So when you get out of prison, you don't have any money when you get released. You got no money. You're going to return. They're going to have crippling debt when they get out of there. They don't have debt when they leave the prison. Got to pay that back. It's just amazing that we have 25% of the world's prison population and we're only 5% of the world's population. I'm going to repeat that so we be sure we get this. We have 2.3 million people in prison system, basically. 25% of the world's prison population, although we are only 5% of the world's population. It's amazing. And corporations control 20% of the federal prisons. Corporations control them. And they control 7% of the state prisons. So where are we going with this? Where are we going? And about the immigration? Well, here's another stat for you. Nearly all of the immigrants, at least half, the 60-70%, they are detained by the federal government or shipped to corporate-run prison. Uh-oh, that should tell you something. See, and we don't know about this. I'm give you another interesting fact here. Slavery is legal in prison under the 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution. How many people know that? About 1% of the people in America know what I just said. Only 1%. 99% don't know. That's why things are happening the way they're happening. I'm going to repeat that one more time. Slavery is legal in prison under the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And since you don't know what it is, I'm going to read it to you. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States. So this is where we are. Vast sums are at stake. They're not going to get rid of this $90 billion business. They're not going to do it, and not ever going to do it. And who are the victims? Black, brown, and poor people.
Emmanuel, let me stop you for a second, and I'd like for you to speak a little bit to this issue. Because based upon what you just stated, there seems to be a collusion, a close alliance between the military, prison, industrial complex, the business community, and the politicians. They seem to feed each other. The businesses feed the politicians by getting money for their campaigns. The politicians make rules and regulations that will benefit the continuation of incarcerating people. And the incarceration industry are making billions of dollars by maintaining the imprisonment of communities of color. Now, there's this discussion going on all the time about prison reform. What would be your solution or suggestion? How should we view or deal with this issue of prison reform, given all that you have stated? What can be done in terms of this question of prison reform, if any?
Well, the things I've gave you is hit them in the pocketbook. They'll only know one thing, and that's profit. You're not going to get reform through the traditional mechanisms or electoral politics of the courts or state and federal legislators. They're useless. It's a huge revenue stream. It has unchecked political and economic power and have no, I said before, have no intention of diminishing their profits. I said before that money has replaced the vote. They're going to keep you where they are because they got this going on. It's a process. You stop the unions, which they're doing basically. Things you need to stop, and they don't raise minimum wage. That's why they're fighting it so hard. Keep the women economic power down because they're the children you're locking up are their children. And they know this. They don't want you to educate the children. That's why education is not a huge thing with some of the candidates. Not worried about education. They got to fill these cells. These cells got to be filled, or the state tax money going to have to pay for those empty cells. Well, well, well. You don't want that to happen. It's not going to happen. So the states don't mind paying out money. They don't mind that at all. New York has paid over $1 billion for police brutality and killings. $1 billion for wrongdoing with the police department. They don't care. They get the money back through summons, through traffic court, where they get the money from. I'll give you a little small note on that. Ferguson, Missouri, about a year ago. It's been a year since the police murdered Mr. Brown. They're writing more tickets. 93% of the tickets have been written in Ferguson to African Americans. That's the revenue stream for them. And all of the cities, it's a revenue stream for them. Who they basically ticket? African Americans. The drugs. Drugs, it's amazing that blacks and Latinos are more likely to be searched. And this coming from the DOG. They were searched 3 times more often than whites. Hispanic, 2 times more than white drivers. The money right now is coming from the drugs. This is the big money, and sentencing is coming from the drugs population. Well, whites, they enhance more drugs than we do, but not getting arrested for it. It's amazing, because traffic tickets are big business. And most of them don't go directly to jail for traffic tickets. They put them into the system. Or they put a bail on them, and the bail bond business, another big business, now it's getting privatized. That's a $15 billion business. And who owns that now? The private enterprises again. Corporations own that now. So what are we talking about here? They're making sure they profit off of all loose ends. See, at one time, the courts allowed you to be free without bail, especially poor people, because they couldn't pay the bail until your trial come up. Not no more. Not no more. They put the bail out there because these corporations own the bail bond companies. They want you to set bail so they can put their fees on them. So a $200 bail sometimes becomes a $1,000 fee if you got to pay on time. If you got to pay $10 or $20, $30 a month because you don't have the money, well, when you finish paying, it's almost $1,000. See, this is nothing but money. See, 70% of the people in jail, they meet the drug abuse and the penance program, yet they only get 7% drugs. Now, why is that? They want them to come back in there, rob somebody, do what they need to do, act violent with the police so they can shoot them. The new lynching is shooting now. That's the new lynching. It's shooting people. They don't mind paying for it. They don't want to buy body cameras, but they go in body cameras, and there's a lot of lying going on. They've been lying for a long time. So again, when you look at public defenders, they make you plead, you're in prison again. 90% of black people, that they go plea bargain because all the craziness come out of them. They in jail. They said 50% of people in jail are false pretense. False pretense. Some never even speak to a lawyer. I want to make it clear to everyone. 13 states in the union have no state structure to make people access to a public defender for misdemeanor courts. Don't want you to know about it. We have to educate people. Educate everybody. Poor people. They can get a lawyer 100% all of the time. It's amazing what we don't know. But again, they waive their right to a lawyer. Whether you waive your right or not, you're still going to pay $240. So you're still going to pay something. They send it over to the probation department, put you on probation. That $240 becomes $1,000 because you get that fees because you can't pay it. You can't pay it. When are you going to pay it? When you don't pay it, there's interest. Everything goes on that $240. It's just amazing how the system has been set up, and it's got to be dismantled. You can't keep this up. We can't dismantle it unless we keep exploiting it.
At this time, for our listening audience, we will take a few phone calls. If you'd like to call in at 818-337-0016, the line is open, as well as you can go to Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Patriot History, chat line. If you have any comments or questions, please hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last phone number. Please hit 1. Emmanuel.
Yes.
In terms of discussing the role and attitude of the Department of Justice and their performance so far on this crisis, what would be your critique of them, of the Department of Justice?
Go to our new Attorney General, Ms. Loretta Lynch. She is something different. She will be the best Attorney General we ever had in this country. She will be the best because she's going to make sure she's going to do her job according to the Constitution of the United States of America. She's entertaining voting rights right now. She's not going to have this craziness. And they're mad. See? But this is the only thing. She had to understand some of the numbers. The DOG, which is her department, they reported last year that 4,000 inmates are murdered each year in prison. That didn't come from me. That's from the DOG. The DOJ, rather. Again, drug crimes and the sentencing for drugs has gone up over 40%. No more 2 or 3 years, 4 or 5 years. But they're not putting the people in jail who's bringing the drugs up in here, who's got their airplanes and the boats to get it up in here. Let's put them in jail. They don't want to stop it. You're not going to stop a $1 trillion business. And the big guy is going to make sure of that. But it's just amazing that the numbers that I get in research, I cannot believe that these numbers are so high in the African American community. Incarceration is not working. It will never work. They're not interested in trying to correct anybody. They want you to come back. The revolving door, because it's a $90 billion business. It's only going to get larger. They're building prison after prison, private prison after prison. It costs basically $105,000 to incarcerate an inmate. The private prison is charging $65,000. Where do you think you're going? That's why they put the immigrants into federal prisons because they get paid to offset the cost for the private prisons. So you got $40,000 left in the bank to move the prisoners, the real prisoners, to the private prisoners at $40,000 less money. This is what they're doing. That's why it's so profitable. And they're making $70 billion off of it. Well, it's just amazing to me that African-American crime rate has been falling down in every city, every major city, state. White crime will always be up. Embezzlement, fraud, that's what they do. But they're in the high buildings to do that. We have to rob with a gun, you know, the bank on the ground floor. They rob with a computer. And they get 2 years. And they take millions of dollars, take billions of bucks like Madoff did. Took, what, $67 billion bucks? Please. We don't even take, you know, we take $100 and they give us 20 years. They take millions of dollars, write a book, make a movie, whatever they do, and they get 2 years. And playing golf in the prison they go to. But the point I'm trying to make here, that at some point in their lives, at some point, primarily for nonviolent drug charges, divide how much we study about it. I mean, studies that reveal from the universities, from private sources. White youth use drugs at a higher rate than blacks. Why are they not in jail? See, here's where it all comes in. It's very discriminatory. It's racist. It's what it is. There's a war on drugs. See, the privatization of the prison industry, profit over justice, is what it is. It's profit over justice. See, and like I said before, if those beds aren't filled, states are required to pay the prison companies for the empty cells. How many people know that? Either way, crime pays. Crime is paying. And who's responsible for paying it? Well, taxpayers. Taxpayers are paying this huge bill.
Can I just interject one second, Emmanuel, also with your last point, also is the issue of who are the people who are making and passing these laws, and who are the people who are owners of these private prisons. Many people don't realize a lot of these people who own these private prisons are judges and lawyers themselves, which
That's
seems
correct.
To be a contradiction in terms of this process. But you can continue your point. I just wanted to make that point to the listening audience.
Well, private prisons are designed by the rich and for the rich. Hope we got that. Private prisons are designed by the rich and for the rich. The for-profit system depends on imprisoning blacks for its survival. It will not survive without black folk in there. Much of the way the United States was designed. I'm going to give you an interesting stat here. I remember this. There are more black men in prison or in jail or on probation or on parole that were enslaved in 1850 before the Civil War. Everybody get that? There are more black men in prison, in jail, on probation, and on parole, trying to cover all the bases here, than were enslaved in 1850 before the Civil War began. We are like the Nazi German Gestapo, which we have many parallels to what U.S. law enforcement in the black community has become. This is who they are. The stop and frisk policy. What was that about? Same thing. 84% of the people that were stopped in New York City, with a population of 29 and 23% respectively black and Latino, were African Americans and Latinos. 84%. And they just basically 24.5% of the population. They're more likely to use physical force against blacks and Latinos doing stops. Stop and frisk planting narcotics and drugs, because drugs is the big population in the middle, in the prison system, planting drugs in their pockets. I said they found drugs. So they can go to jail for 7, 10, 15 years. And they said, we didn't have no drugs. Well, all the crazy come, here come the plea bargaining, which is over 90%, don't want a lawyer. We got you, we found the drugs. You trying to deny it, you don't have a lawyer to deny it for doing anything for you, and now you going to jail. This is what this is all about. This is how they do it. That's why he stopped the frisking law in New York, stop and frisk. What they're doing now, making traffic stops. So you better take the subway. They're making drug things now. They're planting drugs on you while you're walking the street. The thing is drugs. you get 50% more time, 50% of the people being jailed now on drugs. That's why President Obama came out and said, this is crazy. The Attorney General before then said, we're going to let these people out. This is crazy. 30 years for drugs, nonviolent. But I'm telling you all the reasons why they have to do it. The for-profit prison system depends on imprisoning blacks for its survival. Whites and Latinos is just break even. That just break even. The profit comes from us being black people.
Emmanuel, we're going to have to stop you, and we're going to alert our listening audience that you have been listening to Emmanuel of North Carolina. He is one of the contributors, an analyst of missing pages of history. He's been giving his perspectives on the various issues, from boycotting and mass incarceration to what is the solution to prison reform and why the prisons are full up with people of color. In closing, Emmanuel, just give me a two-minute summation on the various issues that we discussed tonight.
Well, I'll do a summary appellation like this. The appropriation of the African-American police state, that's what it is a modern-day crime against humanity. The ongoing protests and uprising in black communities, they are direct and just response to sense of worsening incarceration. Baltimore, Ferguson, this are the uprising. This is modern-day lynching, shootings you might call them now, and a systemic second-class citizenship, subhuman. I'm going to call it second-class. As for being a post-racial nation, we are not. We're at our newest low for race relations. We're at a new low. We had a low, then we're at a new low. The simmering discontent in black community will continue to rise toward a dangerous boiling point unless and until the African-American police state is exposed and completely dismantle. We have to start anew.
We'd like to thank you, Emmanuel, for your contribution to today's program. And in closing, on behalf of Missing Pages of History, we'd like to thank the listening audience and their support for this radio program at MPH. Our next program will be on Saturday, August 22nd at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We are a community-based nonprofit development corporation. We seek the whole world as our community. You can support us by going to our website and purchasing a set of a cap and T-shirt. We have the cap and T-shirt drive all this month. You can go to our website and support MPH, or you can just make a donation by going to www.mphinc.org, or you can email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com for any questions or comments that you may have. If you'd like to talk to us directly, our phone number is 804-726-3216. Without your support, there can be no MPH. We are your community. When you support the community, you'll be supporting MPH. Until next time, let's continue to fill in our missing pages of history, and we'll see you at 1 o'clock on August the 22nd. We thank you, and this has been the voice of Missing Pages of History.